Holy Ghost. Well, I need y'all to stand back up just for a minute, please. You know, where I live and work in Mexico, there's always agendas. There's always administrators, people doing things. I also am a good administrator. Where she go? Yeah. And sometimes our services go 8-10 hours. Because we don't have a good band. We have a bunch of good bands. And I'll pick out one of them. Being the dad, the grandpa of the thing, you get rights. Just cause of the time. Just staying with it. And not very many people fuss at me much anymore there. I can just basically do what I want to. And what I want to do is I'll stand like I am right now, looking at people. It'll be anywhere from hundreds to thousands. And I tell the boys in the bands, keep playing, because Jesus is coming. And I stand there until he comes. And I don't get in a hurry. I don't care if you have medicine to take, a life to live, a boss is making it urgent on you. Do it. But we're going to worship God. And always God comes and knocks out one or two bands. Sometimes three of them. Sometimes all of them get knocked out. And they're just laying there like dead men. And that's pretty awesome. And I want for you the presence of God. I am used to it. I live in it. Do you hear me? And so that makes me not, let's see, not as interested in the other world. So, because back yonder a ways, there was a song, "You're so spiritually minded, you're no earthly good." That's what I wish on all of us. There is so much safety and deliverance and life of God in letting Jesus run things for us. Because I am that guy that makes sure all the I's are dotted and T's are crossed, and boy, I like it in order. But God likes our world in disarray a lot. And so what we're going to do is we're going to just go ahead and make some declarations right now. I'm going to try to tell you a couple of stories, because my insides are quivering, and that's good for you. Hear me? Unbelievers, you should leave. I'm not kidding you. You don't believe in this? I need you to move on. Because God's fixing to touch us fresh, clear, clean. Y'all been at it for a long time, lots of hours a day. So have I. Got me I didn't quite make a half marathon, but I got close. I just didn't want to run no more. And I went home, got ready for y'all. And boy, it was a beautiful day. I was out there. Golly, it was just amazing how much energy is in that cool air. I like that. Thank y'all. Like you had anything to do with it. You enjoyed it just like I did. So I bless you. So what we're going to do is we're going to together get in unison like we was a while ago in some of those songs. And we're going to let Jesus touch us. And say this with me, Lord Jesus, I love you. See, we're going to say it together, all right? And what we're doing is speaking into the air. And with us speaking into the air, the same words is going to put heaven on notice, and it's also going to put hell on notice, and it's also going to put our realm on notice. Because we are sons of God. We are daughters of Zion. We have that capability. Not many of us use it much, but we do have that in us, and I want to use it because I am not satisfied with current progress. I want more of Jesus. I get to see more than anybody. And I want more of it. Let me tell you why. Because it's available. It has been done. It's for us. It is ours to absorb. God did it for us. So say it, Jesus.
Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I am grateful.
I am grateful.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jesus.
Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I bless the water I drink.
I bless the water I drink.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I bless the ground I walk on.
Lord Jesus,
I bless the air I breathe.
Lord Jesus,
I bless the food I eat.
Lord Jesus,
I bless my enemies.
Lord Jesus,
I bless my family.
Lord Jesus,
thank you.
Lord Jesus,
thank you.
Lord Jesus,
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank y'all. Please have a seat. See, because of the way I believe, I get myself into lots of trouble on purpose because I won't not do it. Listen, I've got lots of years of experience. I do not have to do what I do now. Understand me. There's another way, and I can make lots of big money, and it would be condoned by you. The problem with that is, your vote don't count. Jesus is king. There's one vote. He is. And so that lets me free of your opinion. It really does. I try not to be rude and really, I do. I try not to be, but somehow I have to be pushy. Look, one of our meetings this year, I was standing, it was like hour five. Boy, I was tired of standing there because my legs swell up sometimes now, and because all this thing, all the things I do, and I want to go sit down, I want to lay down with my feet in the air, swap my blood out, different things, but I can't. I have dedicated time to the presence of God, so I have to do it. I have to. And so I'm standing up there, and for some reason, it was like the third band, because they go like 45, 50 minutes, and then they start looking around and want somebody else because their fingers get numb, and their human abilities wear out, and things like that happen, and, you know, and they seem so spiritual, they're not. They want to change out because they're hurting. And it was the third band up there banging it. It's like hours three, and I'm standing there. I'm still standing there. offering praise and sacrifice to the King and pulling down heaven around us. And for some reason, which I don't know why it didn't come an hour or two ago, but all of a sudden the place is lit up. Nothing was different except a different band. All the tunes are basically the same. The words are similar. But for some reason, these young couples started getting up that I know all these people. I'm grandpa to all of them. And so I know when they're having trouble, their pastors tell me. And next thing you know, it's entire families walking up to me, young families, in their first 15 years of marriage. And this, one of them especially, he's just looking at me, and he's just blubbering, tears are, and he's got a hold of his wife's hand. I mean, her hand's turning white. God's got a hold of the boy. Strong young man, fierce guy. And he said, "You got to help me." I said, "I'm not doing that. I ain't having you do nothing. I don't want it to get me like it's got you. I want to stay where I can be, guide. If something takes off, I want to be alert. If I get told me what's on you, I will lose my alertness and fall on the ground." And the next thing you know, it's like nine of these younger families and all these kids, and they're blubbering everywhere and snot's flying, and it's awesome, and because there's a few thousand people there, and God's just running through the house, and there's 100, 200 at the time being cut out. And I'm just sitting there going, "What? Wow, man, come more. And I'm telling the band, "Bring it." And I got about 10 prophets wanting to speak and 10 preachers with words. I tell them, "Sit down. What I want, I got. God, look what he's doing. I don't need you to talk about it." I don't need some famous dead raiser person. I need Jesus. And man, he's whacking, and my goodness, he's smashing us. And all of a sudden, I noticed this larger person, woman, come about. She was jiggly. I mean, God was on her, boy. And she's bouncing up there, and I'm looking at her, "Oh, my God." And she starts screaming at me. I mean, shrieking. "You have to help me." I said, "I'm not doing anything to you. I'm not going, whatever's got a hold of you is going to stay on you." She said, "No." I said, "What is your problem then?" She says, now, y'all don't know this term, but I'm gonna give you a short explanation, all right? She says, "I am a priestess of the Santa Muerte." And the Santa Muerte is a new god in our hemisphere. His name is the Holy Death. And these cartels worship that thing. And it's horrendous. Okay, and so she says, "I am a priestess of the Santa Muerte." I said, "You shouldn't be here." I said, "God will kill you in front of us. Run!" I'm thinking, "Oh my God, I'm fixing to watch God fillet this girl." She don't understand. He don't tolerate that. You shall have no other God before him. And he means it. And it don't matter how much power you think you got, when he's rolling in there doing what he's doing, and I'm watching 200-300, I'm talking about it looks like somebody's hitting with an axe. I mean, they're flying hundreds at the time, flying through the air. I told her, you need to run. She said, I can't run. I'm through running. I said, well, whatever happens to you is not my responsibility. She said, you're going to help me. I said, I am helping you. I'm trying to keep you alive, and you think I'm detaining you. I said, girl, you need to get on out of here. I said, if you knew him like I know him, you would run for that back door and hope you make it. God is fierce. He's a warrior God. He is a God of war. And she says to me, I came here because I know you believe that. I said, say on. She said, I was there, and it was like a bus ride. It's like 14 hours away. And she said, I was worshiping the devil, and he came. And my walls of my, is it okay to tell truth? You good?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Truth is painful. And the walls started leaking blood. I said, have you figured out what kind of blood it is? She said, oh, yeah, it's human blood. I said, oh, my God. I told you, he's going to get you. She said, he did already. That fear, we can't stop it from leaking. I went to I'm a high priestess, but there's one more ahead of me, and I went to him, and I begged him for mercy, and they said, no, this is something else that's wringing the life of our God out. I said, so you figured out you were with a subordinate or a subservient God. Is that what you just said to me? She said, yes. I said, how'd you know about me? Because where you live, we don't have any churches yet. She said, it's my husband. And there's this skinny kid behind her. And I'm looking at him. I said, I don't recognize you. Where are you from? He told me, he named one of my pastors. He said, I am his son. I said, you, how's it going for you? You done made a series of bad decisions. First of all, you rebelled against God. Then you cursed your dad and ran off. And now you done married yourself a priestess of the devil. Boy, you ain't got no sense. He said, Brother David, I'm going to tell you this. I did all those things you said, but it's the will of God for me to be in the position I was in because I knew you. And now we need you. Your God is going to save us. And I looked at her. I said, you want saving or you want that thing that my God's twisting off on you to kill you because he's coming. She said, I want help. So I got Ms. Hogan. Here, stand up, woman. Put that junk down. This is Ms. Hogan. 49 years this year. Yeah. So, you want to say something? You good? You going to let me do it?
Yep.
All right, thank you. I love you.
You too.
Thank you. So, it's proper to show my caring for her in public. For all you stick in the muds that think it ain't proper. I too am part German. And Irish. And two tribes of American Indians. So let's do it. Whichever one of those you want. So, I got run off from I don't know how many meals at my daddy's house when I was young because my grandpa was German fella, and boy, he didn't even let kids talk. And I always talked at the table. Boy, oh boy, they run me off. I never did get to eat much. Mama had to sneak me some later. So I don't deal with that. I don't like that stuff. So there you go. Clear? All right. I love my wife. It ain't none of your concern. How about that? So I told Miss Hogan, come here, woman. And she come up there. I said, this here's a witch. I said, I need you to wrap your hands in her hair. So I wrapped Miss Hogan's hand in this lady's hair on that side, and I wrapped her hair up on the other side. I said, now hang on, Mom, we finna ride this here pony. That little old woman, soft-spoken thing right there, don't say nothing in public. Hell knows her. That's all I care about. She's well known because all of a sudden she started praying in her little way she prays. Not me. I'm all over the thing. I'm bouncing on the walls, pulling the woman's hair out and everything else. All of a sudden this lady now let out a wahoo, started screaming. Ms. Hogan unhanded her and moved away. But not me. I want to do the ride. I like this stuff. Dude, she started screaming and something picked her up. I couldn't tell if it was a friendly or not. And when she hit the deck, something come growling out of her and was standing in midair. I couldn't see it. I wanted to see it. And it was growling and talking to me, that thing was. And then some kind of force went by me, spun me around, and I'm looking, and it hit the thing talking to me and put it through the roof. Boom. Yeah. It was nice. And then this little chubby girl gets up in a minute. She's all over the place. Her husband's holding on to her. She said, what was the name of that second spirit? I said, his name is Jesus. She said, I want to meet him. I said, I thought you might. And I hit her the second time, Jesus. And when her eyes, oh my God, she's flying through there and she's just looking at me. And before she hit the deck, she's speaking in tongues. Yeah. So I told the local pastor, I said, real important. We're going to get in big trouble. Because God got her full of the Holy Ghost before we got her to pray for Jesus to save her. Christianity, don't let Jesus work. He has to follow Christian rules. Soon as she gets up, get her born again. So she can be free to speak in unknown tongues. Because y'all don't let them. Of course, you can't stop me, so I'm happy about that. Holy Ghost. And that boy, he come up, he said to me, I knew I could trust you, Brother David. See, that's who trustworthy. I spoke that to you last night. See, listen to me. We have to be spitting the same tobacco we was. We have to be petting the same old dog. When people need us, they need to know where to find us. At the feet of Jesus. Do you understand? That boy knew I'd be somewhere preaching. He knew if he could just get her to me, that God would deliver her. And that's who we are, and that is what we do. Do you understand? I like that. I like that a lot. I can't tell you how I like it. It's so much fun to not be afraid. Because those things are truly real and powerful and scary. But I just feel myself at ease around them. Because Jesus is King, that's why. And I don't feel threatened by hell like some of you do. So we're going to work on some freedom, if that's all right. I don't know. Sometimes a lot of these jewels fall. I don't know if that's real or not. And so I want to tell y'all, but let me read a Bible verse to you so you can feel Christian. I want to tell you, thank you for letting me do my run today. And I also want to tell y'all, thank you for letting me, because you don't know this, but I am now have worked my personal prayer life and seeking God thing up to 100 chapters minimum a day, listening to the Bible and praying the Word of God. And everybody wants to know why things are still working for us. That's why. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And if you can worship God and pray past your tiredness and weakness and abilities, that's when mercy shows up. Shataba. So we want to go back. I only got one line out last night of this deal. And I really want to, I need you to see a new sky. Say it. I want to see.
I want to see.
Say it. In Jesus' name. Say it.
In Jesus' name.
We love you, Father. Holy. Now, unless you change the agenda, tomorrow we will do a new day thing. And I will share it for a few minutes. I can't get it out in enough time, but there is a new power. You see me, the energeticness on me, you see me, the enthusiasm, it runs 24/7. It's an amazing ability now. I don't know what to say to you, but I want to share it, but I'm going to share it in the morning. There's something else I want to get out this evening, if that's all right. It says right here, I saw a new sky. Say, I want to see.
I want to see.
A new heaven. I want newness. Say it. See, that people tell me all the time, brother, you need to pray for our congregation. We got stale bread. Listen to me, all right? Ain't nothing God does is stale. I don't give a flying flip about you being stale. But now God ain't stale. Hello? All right. Say it. I want new. Say it.
I want
fresh oil.
I want new bread.
Yeah. What's it? Former sky and former earth, they gone. Say, get out.
Get out.
Get out of my life.
I'm having a new,
fresh, Holy Ghost encounter. Because I'm going
to be able to see.
I want to see. Please, heaven. I want to see. Shanakatana. All right. Look what it says. Verse 2. This is Revelation. Did I tell y'all Revelation 21, verse 2? If you was here last night, you knew. Revelation 21, number 2. I'm gonna try to stick to the thing because I want to tell you there's something really funny happened to me, and I must explain it to you. But it's complicated and scary. But I made it. All right. Verse 2. It says, I saw. Say, I want to see.
I want to see.
I saw.
I want to see.
The holy city.
The holy city.
See, there was this woman died, one of our main older people, very stable human being, and she started out the first 20 years that we opened this new area. It was a vast, must have been, I don't know, several thousand villages and no Christians, and I wanted it. It was impossible, lots of gunplay, rebel groups, witchcraft. Boy, that's, I want it. If it's got all of that, it's got my name written on it. And so we went in there, and boy, the persecution lit up on us. It got a little bumpy for a minute. There were, people were dying, and crops were burning, and houses being burned down, and us being beat, put in jail, and went on for a while, 20 years. But finally, they got whacked by the fire of God, and a whole stack of them got saved. Now, it's, I don't know, 150, 200 churches in there. We did good. And it's still going. All right, okay. But one of the first converts was the main persecutor. It was this lady, and she's very wealthy, and she got born again, filled with the Holy Ghost. As soon as the day she got saved, they burned her house down. That's so awesome. No, I'm serious. She burnt stuff, and I mean, and she's wealthy, and she's political. She has prowess and powers. Can't stop hell with that. You need Jesus. You hear me? I said, you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Say it. I want to see.
I want to see.
The holy city.
And
you see, this lady got sick, and she told all of her, because she was saved 25 years now. So it's been a long span of fight out there, and then salvation as well now. And so she got sick, and she told all of her family, look here, I've had enough. I'm ready to go. Don't you dare tell Brother David I'm sick, because he won't let me die sick, because I don't believe that. If you die sick, you miss the will of God. Is that clear? So we need the will of God. So that means we need an overhaul. We need things changed, because more Christians are drug addicts than are not. And you have a little piece of paper signed by a human being. It's a pedophile. Oops. And you think it's legal. I don't believe you. I believe Jesus. And I'm standing here in front of you, and I have a witness. Do I take medication? Do I go to the doctor? Tell them. I don't. That's not any of your concern either. Jesus is king. Shut up. I've been with my eyes. I've been with my teeth. That's it. They don't do nothing in here. That's off limits. So, whether you agree or not, ain't none of your business. So, save your email. I'm not going to read it. My wife and my son-in-law filter that stuff, and they just trash them. Y'all wasting your time. It's not getting to me. So, here's how it goes. Well, the pastor came, one of our main guys, he told her, look here, we're going to pray for you. She said, you will not. I forbid you pray for me. I'm leaving. But look here, Brother David's going to get a little testy. He's going to get mad at me. He'll fuss at me. I don't want him fussing at me. I can't let you die sick. She said, you listen to me. I can die like I want to die. Brother David's right, but it's time for me to move on. He said, suit yourself. Say, let her die. She died. But the problem with that is I got a override on my on your will. It's called the will of God. And it's not my fault. Because this lady died, and she's walking, and now she thinks she's alive, but she's not. And she's walking down this trail, and there's these little blue lights, and she's following these little blue lights, and it's comfortable, and she looks off over yonder, a couple of mountains away, and there's some spires, a beautiful city sticking up over there. And she's walking toward that city. It's a lot of light over there. This lady's like 700 million years old. I mean, she's old. Yeah, really. She was the one nesting the dinosaurs, this lady. And that's true. And so, that's a true statement. And so, not really. So here's how it went. She's walking, and it's beautiful, and it's comfortable, and she's got energy, she's not sick, and she goes down, she's got one more hill, and she's climbing up this hill, and she's starting to see the city. Say it. I want to see the holy city. Say it. The problem with you and seeing the holy city is it changes who you are. Just the sight of the city changes who you are. Your opinion is not relevant. Because from this city, this light came. And it was brighter, her words to me, because when I got out there, I'd heard about her being raised from the dead. And I wanted to see her. So I went out there. And she's standing over there on the wall. You ought to have seen her. She was like 700 million years old. But she looks like a teenager. I mean, she's on fire. And I'm looking at her. She's nervous. She's making me nervous. And so, finally I said, Shiwala paradika, shitlakwa kana, come over here and eat with me. And it's not legal in their world for the women to eat with the men. But because of her age and who I am, we can break all the rules. And so she's sitting there. She moved the food. They brought her some food. She moved it. She's just looking at me. I said, Sayo. She said, you was right. I said, I know I'm right. But what am I right about? She said, the city. I said, no. You didn't see the city. She said, I saw the holy city. Say it. I want to see the holy city. See, the problem with seeing the holy city, when you see the holy city, the owner shows up. And I know you don't want to be around Jesus. I know that. I know you want to stay in your condition and with your pets that you have that's making you sick and hurting you. And I know that's what you want. And she's walking, and out of that city comes a light brighter than the city and brighter than the sun. That's what she told me. I said, okay, I need details. She said, the city's gone. The light's too bright. And out of the light, because the light is a curtain, and out of the curtain, the light, stepped a brighter light in the shape of a man. It was Jesus. I said, wow, you got to see the holy city, and then you got the boss. I like this a lot. What'd the boss say? Well, it wasn't what he said at first. It was what he did. He gave me a light. I said, he gave you a light? I want a light. She said, Brother David, you have a light. You do. It's because of the light is why I was able to see the city. You showed me where the city was, and I walked to it. And then he shows up and gives me another light. And I said, what did he say? She said, go back and tell him I'm coming soon. And with that, she was flipped around and came back. She put back in her body and brought back to life. She was raised from the dead by the Lord Jesus. So I want you to say with me, I want to see the holy city. Say it.
I want to see the holy city.
I want a new day. Say it.
I want a new sky.
I want to see the holy city, the new Jerusalem, as God is preparing it. Now look what it says. Arrayed like a bride, beautiful, adorned for her husband. Look, Ms. Hogan, 1,400,000 years ago, we had a wedding 49 years ago. And wow, it was simple because I wouldn't go if it wasn't. I don't do religion. It ripped me off. And I told her, me or them. Told her that from the beginning, didn't I? And whose choice was it? Was it your choice or my choice? It was your choice to be with me, wasn't it? Was there any force involved? No. I told her, you decide who's going to be there and how it's going to go. You have this block of time and I'm leaving. It's not going to be in any building. It's not going to be around anybody that I think are religious. She said, but I want your daddy. He's a pastor. I want your daddy. I said, I don't care if he does it, because he ain't scared of me, but he's nervous that he's going to lose me 100%, so he won't break the rules, my rules. I did his rules, and they lied to me. Now we ain't doing his rules no more. I don't know what my rules are yet, because I'm wild, I'm out of control, I'm angry, but I ain't doing them other rules. How about that? And I don't know what rules are right, but them rules are wrong. You hear me? And but look, when this woman, because she's a seamstress, a professional seamstress, this lady, and when she walked around that corner, I don't know who's in that room anymore. Dang. She had a mini, I told her, mini skirt or nothing. I said, I don't care about the rest of it, but it's got to be up here. She said, deal, didn't you? Dude, she walked around, and when I looked at her, I lost. I just looked at my dad. I said, blankety, blankety, blank. I did good, didn't I? He said, yeah. You did, boy. That was a pretty girl, son. Do you hear me? That's what we got to look forward to. Do you hear me? Pleasing the Father. Satabala nakatane katana. And you think I'm going to live to suit you, when all I got to do is suit him, and I'll get to see the holy city, I'll get to see the powers of God on this planet? Do you understand? I don't want to offend you, but I'm not going to offend him.
Amen.
Do you understand that? I'm not here to offend you. I'm here to please him. There's a difference. Do you hear me? It has to be. Do you understand? It has to be. And that's where I get coined as a crazy man, as a, you know, always looking to be the wild, do something different. I'm not trying to be different than you. I don't care what you do. I just want him pleased with me. You understand? I want to see. But that isn't all of it. What? Keep going. Look at verse 3. Now look what it says. What does y'all say? What's the first word? Somebody read me the first phrase of y'all's. I heard a loud voice. Another word? Is it besides I heard? Anybody? Mine says as well. See, we need to be able to hear as well. I really do want to get along with you. But what if God has got something awesome for us and trying to please each other, we miss it? Do you think he is obligated to show me twice? He's not. I need to see it when it's available. I need to hear it at the moment. And that means I need to be attentive to him. Like I am her. You see how I take care of her. Y'all saw me a while ago. I was looking for her all over the house. I almost caused a riot trying to find her. All she went was to the toilet. Listen to me now. I like my bride. So does my father. And I like him back. Do you hear me? So, say it. I want to hear the mighty voice. Say it. Guess where it's from? The throne. I don't need a priest or you. You prophets, keep it. Oops. I get in real big trouble. I was over there with Rick Joyner and them. They all prophets, all of them. It wasn't my fault what happened. I'm sorry. I mean it. I didn't know it was going to happen. How could it be my fault? I'm just up there telling everybody how awesome Jesus is. And here comes the war angel of God and stood beside me. It's not my fault. They saw it. I couldn't see it. The difference is I'm not a seer. I'm a doer. You're a seer. Ta-ta-ta. Bless you. But me, I don't get to see. I am the God that has to do without seeing. It's called faith. I need God to let me see. Say it. I need God to let me hear. Say it. From the throne. From the throne. Well, look, I'm standing there. This is not my fault. I apologize to y'all. You know you need to get along with these important people. You know that. Why is it my fault if God comes and interrupts everything? It ain't my fault. I'm standing up there saying, Jesus is King, and this war angel stands up there beside me. He's this massive creature thing with all these implements. He's looking at everybody, and I'm going, what are they looking at? And then this knucklehead on the second row jumps up and starts, he thinks he's in an R.W. Shambach meeting. That's back in the days when it was legal to be emotional in church. This dude is, he's standing in one place, and I don't know, he's looking like he's running about 30 miles an hour. And I'm looking at him. And I looked right at my wife. I said, the dude thinks he's in a Shambach meeting. These people don't allow that. They rules against being emotional and serving God with emotions. Say, yeah, it is. Say it. Say it. And say it. We're going to break them all. Say it. Because Jesus is King. Say it.
Jesus is King.
And all of a sudden this fellow starts running and I'm just sitting there watching him. You know, there must be 1,000 people in there. And I'm just, man, he is hauling now. Good looking fellow with a nice white shirt on, blue jeans, nice pair of boots. I thought I should have his boots. I mean, he is running. I'm going. And the ushers say, what do you want? I say, I want you to run him down and catch him for me. So now it's a show. I mean, this guy is running so fast and these people and then they're missing him and he's knocking them over and it's I'm laughing so hard, I'm having a blast. Finally, one of the young ushers tackled that joker. He got him on the ground. He is bucking, and it's, wow, it's a scene. And they come dragging him back up there. And he, I mean, they can't stop him from moving. I said, son, what are you doing? He said, it's your fault. And he just, and I said, no, it's not. I'm not doing that. He said, it's that angel beside you. That's when I got a little bit nervous. Because they're all seers and I'm not. I'm a doer. And I have these war angels with me and I don't ever get to see them very much. And I'm starting to look for him. I'm nervous now. I said, what happened? He said, you was up there talking and that war angel appeared. I said, what did he say? He said, he didn't say nothing. He just walked over and touched me on the forehead. I said, that's not exaggerated. He said, yeah, you're right. But when he lifted his hand, fire came in me. I said, that happens to me every day. And I don't make a scene like this. Don't it happen to me every day? Sometimes I'd stop and let her drive because I'll start hearing some song will get it going and I'm just, and I'm like, it happens every day. And it's awesome. But it's not that kind of a deal. Well, it turns out I had no idea. And I'm sorry to y'all about what I've been saying to y'all, as I was to Rick Joyner. Because he put me on the carpet over this. The young man was in his 40s, I guess, probably. He was like the fourth in command of the whole Morningstar deal. I didn't know the guy. But what I didn't know was he had been 4 years in therapy because he was at the mall with his wife and a runaway car had smushed his leg from the knee down flat. And they had pinned him and rods and plates him back together. And when the angel of the Lord touched him, a new leg was created. So I really need, right here close. That ain't very far. That's only like 7 or 8 hours from here. Listen. It's a new sky we need. Say it. And I want to see it. I want to participate. Say it. I want to be so enthroned, so engulfed. What is it when you see something and that's all you can see? Captivated. Consumed. No more words. Them's good ones. I want bigger. Enthroned. Yeah, possessed, obsessed, all those things. I do not want to see anything but that. But you won't be any good. Yes, I will. I absolutely will. I can already do anything you can't. What if I'm successful at my goal? It's going to be on like Donkey Kong. I'm going to get me a hammer and smash that monkey. Do you understand me? I'm telling y'all, I didn't know that angel was coming. I'm just a doer. I'm just that guy that methodically, it's monotonous. Every day, oh, everybody thinks I'm in law. I'm in, you need some freedom, brother. No, leave me alone. I like getting people new legs. I like healing the lepers. Hear me? Whatever it is you offering, I ain't seen no results. I don't want what you got. I want what I see in the new sky. I want what I hear from the throne of the mighty one. Do you understand? That's what I want. And that's what I'll have, thank you. Shakanabatani. And so let me back it up a little, because I see it's getting a little tense on y'all. I think it's me that's getting tense. I'm sweating like she was a while ago. It's fire, boy. And it's really real. Now, here's your problem. I got invited to go, and I want to tell you all this, unless you've had enough. It's 9:23. Is it? Can we do another thing? Is it, boy, because this is concidable. This is. I'm serious. Okay. There's this church over in India that invited me, and they Wednesday night meeting is 100,000 of prayers. I wanted to see that many folks laying down on their little mats worshiping Jesus. Hear me? And I accept it, right? Okay, now this is not my fault. What I was going to say to you is wonderful. But boy, was it costly. See, you're used to wanting stuff down at the McDonald's in less than 5 minutes, and it better come out piping hot and perfect. And you think that's how it is with heaven. No, we got to go out to the pasture and grow the cow. And we got to get us another field and put some wheat in it. If you want bread and if you want some hamburger, you don't have to grow it yourself. Now, this takes a minute. I'm a farmer. I grow stuff because I give, y'all don't know any of this, and I don't want to get off on it. My crops came in a few months ago. We had 100 tons of just the oranges, just the citrus. And I gave it all to the poor. It was so amazing. And the corn, the beans, and all the stuff you get, I pay for all of it, and I give it to the poor. Cows, I grow. I'm a cowboy. I like all that. I do it. I do grow my own cows and my own corn and all that. So I'm in on this. I know what it takes to get fruit. There ain't no shortcuts. Where I live, there ain't no super center. Can't roll down there and buy no slab of meat because there ain't one. You got to go out to the pasture, figure out which one of them's going to sacrifice his life for you and cut his throat and cut him out of that skin he's in. Do you understand? And that ain't what you like to hear anymore, because you want it right now. You, after all, you're a favorite. You're a son. I am that as well. But I have found out he likes me because of the way I like him. Because I'm willing to sit on that floor until he comes through that roof. Do you understand me? I said, do you understand me? And that's what it takes. We have to change our mentality to become like who he is, eternal. Nothing's in a hurry. Jesus is king. We're all right. It's going to work out. I know it don't look like it. I can see as well. But Jesus is king. And so look, I got invited to India. And there was these six places that wanted me to come. So I tried to work them out. Turns out that five of them were killing Christians at the time when I got there. Now, I'm a Christian. All right. And I'm going to say this stuff without any names. And without all this, I cannot afford, because if it's going online, I cannot give you details. And I apologize. I want to, but I cannot. It's impossible. People will die, and I'm not going to do that. Damn. All right. Now what? This is not my fault. I'm sorry to y'all. But I got my passport all in order. It's full of all these nations that are at war with India. And I told Ms. Hogan, they're not going to give me a visa. This nation, there's three nations that I have visas in my passport with that are at war with India, and they're not going to let me in. And I sent my thing off. Dude, it came back in 3 days. It ain't even got there yet. And it's back. And I thought, wow, that was a fast rejection. I felt rejected. And Miss Hogan sits down, we tear open the thing, and I look in there. No, it's not rejected. I have a 10-year multiple entry work visa. What? But I'm an American white male Christian. That'll get you killed in the entire planet, any one of those. Nowadays. Did you hear me? So I said, well, next step, let's get a plane ticket. So I brought my passport in there and laid down the visa, and I told heaven, see, I'm in. I just need some money from a plane ticket, thank you. Well, it came in the mail just about as quick, and I told Miss Hogan, light it up. So she got a hold of our travel person thing, and they got me a ticket. All right, about 2 days later, after we bought the ticket, I got this real cordial letter from the State Department of the United States of America. We see that you have a ticket to India. We don't want you to go, thank you. I said, what? So the next day, I'm contemplating, you know, because I went to God about it, and he never did say don't go. I did a 40-day fast because I knew they were slaughtering Christians over there. And all it takes heaven to do is say, don't go. Right here, don't go. I ain't going. You won't drag me over there. But you see, he already said, go ye and make disciples. So it's a given that I'm going. He has to tell me not to. You do all these fleeces. You need to grow up a little. You need to read your Bible some. And so what went on was, the next day, the State Department of India sent me an email, and it said, big as you please, we noticed that you got a plane ticket. It'd be better probably if you didn't come. So I got the United States government, the Indian government, and I respect them both. Don't agree with them on very much, but me as a Christian, I am obligated to submit. So I'm sitting here trying not to be rebellious, and I told Ms. Hogan, and here's what she always says. She always says similar things she says to me. I said, what do you think? She says, this is what I think. What did Jesus tell us to do in the beginning? I said, well, he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. She said, well, then go. Yes, ma'am. So I took off. They came and I took off. All right, now, I'm sorry to all of y'all. I'm going to do this as respectful as possible to her and them. All right. You're not involved. Okay, so we got going on the trip, and one of our segments of our flight got canceled. That's a day. So it was one day, then now the second day. And finally, the third day, I get into Delhi. And we go rolling in there, you know, and they whisk us away. We went to a hotel, international flight thing. You know, it was great. Things are awesome. And so in the morning, we took a shower, we take off. Day four of the trip, I get going, and I get to the domestic airport in Delhi. There's not supposed to be consequences. There isn't. Me being a foreigner, but with permission to be there, I've already gone through customs and immigration. There's not supposed to be consequences. I might be attacked, I might be questioned, I might be a lot of things. So I'm going up there to go in to, they're going to check my passport right there, and all of a sudden lights and bells and whistles start going off everywhere. You're hearing these noises, and man, we hunkered down, we're looking, and the whole guns come up, and the whole airport is shut down, and we're looking for the bad guys. Well, the colonel walked up with his 45 to me, and he says, "You're coming with me." I said, "Do I have a choice?" He said, "You do not." So I told my son, I said, "Listen, Joseph," I said, "tell mom where you last saw me, because mom will get her done, son." And he said, "I'll do it, Dad." And so I'm going with this guy. Now this is, you don't know, you think you know uncomfortable. You think you know how to be a Christian. You think you know how to love your enemies. Listen, I am in a nation that believes in Hinduism, that does not believe in Christianity, that have legal rights to kill you as a Christian. There is no prosecution for it. Do you understand me? In most areas, almost all of it. And so I have no rights. But what you can't forget is who I am. I am a favorite son of a king. In their world, I lost all my rights when I got off that international flight and walked onto their ground. Do you understand me? But I'm not there to curse them or it or try to talk them into my opinion. Did you hear me? I am there to submit to them and let God work in that scenario. Whatever it is. And because I don't agree with you on much about this, see? You believe in rights. I believe in Jesus. That's why I'm still alive. And so we go in this room, and I mean, there are some beautiful computers in there, boy. I mean, big ones. And I'm looking around. He put me up. There was a little X and a little thing, and I had to get in it and sit there. He said, "Don't move." I said, "Yes, sir, I'm not moving." He got that gun in his hand. "I ain't about to move. I don't have mine." And he gave them all my junk. I don't have anything left on me. He took it all. That's vulnerable. Listen to me now. This is where people get lost. And you never hear from them again. From that little X right there. Because you give up your paperwork, you have nothing. All right. And so I'm sitting there. And that guy, he's just sitting there. He got his gun. He's just looking at me. I mean, right in the eyes. This is cold. And me, I'm going to warn you. I'm not afraid of him. So, but I do respect him because he's the authority. And so I'm looking him right back in the eyes. It's on, you hear me? And one of the people over there come up to him and say to him, because he checked Interpol, he checked our government, FBI, he checked all sorts of things. And the lady says, "The man is clean." He said, "He is not." And he put three people on it. They run it again, three of them. All three of them came back clean. He said, "He is not clean." He put three more. Check it from different angles, different ways. And they all come up clean. See, this is what a testimony is about. This is what a clean witness is. I am not a good man. I would never try to sell that to you. But I'm going to tell you what I'm not, a bad guy. I'm a son of a king, and I'll die with that one. Thank you. Right there is good enough for me. And he brought my paperwork back, and he handed it to me. He said, "I ain't going to let you go." I said, "Doesn't seem like it." "Yes, sir." And I didn't spin up on him. I stayed there looking him right in the eyes because I'm not afraid of the guy. And I apologize to y'all about that. Just fear is not what I do. Jesus is what I do. Hear me? And he says to me, why are you here and why should I let you get on a domestic airline? I said, I'm going to tell you why. And this is where you come clean, son. You tell the truth. I said, what I am is a son of a king. His name is Jesus Christ the righteous. I am here to heal your land. I am here to heal your sick. I am here to cast out demons. I am here to raise your dead. I'm here to cleanse your lepers. That's why I'm here. He said, you think you're Jesus? I said, absolutely. Do I look like I'm intimidated by you? He said, no. Come with me. So we walk. I didn't know what he was going to do. And I don't know what he did, but he hit some button and the thing went at ease again. And he said these words to me. He put his hand up on my shoulder. That made me uncomfortable. He said, welcome to our land. I ask you to bless this land. Pray for me before you go. Come on! Come on now. That ain't nowhere near possible. Hear me? But it ain't over unless you had enough. So I'll go in there, and I was impressed. I roll up to the spice jet thing, and they go, Mr. Hogan. I said, yeah. The government is bumping you up to first class. I said, God bless the government. And I said, what about my team? They go, yeah, them too. I'm like, yeah. God runs the government. This is nice. And so we made it in, right? All right. Now I can tell you less about the next event. But they're killing Christians by the hundreds. And you know nothing about it. It's horrible. The way they kill these women and kids, and it's rough. All right. And so they pick me up at this airport, and they 100-mile-an-hour me to this resort. Has armed guards and that. They said, we'll be here in the morning to pick you up at 9 o'clock. So I'm ready. 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Finally, they show up at 12:30. Brother David, it's your call. They're going to kill us. I said, why is it my call? Because of you they're going to kill us. I said, what do y'all want? They said, we want you to come and preach the gospel. And we want to die with you. I said, make it so. And I turned to my team. You don't have to go. And they said, we're going with you. I said, it ain't my call. Text your families. Tell them we'll see them later. So we did. And 100 mile an hour. Okay. Yeah, what I got to see, I don't even know how to explain this to you. All right, you understand? I don't know your concept of life, and what I'm fixing to say to you don't meet. Hello? So we get to the thing, and there must be 500 people outside. And I don't know who's going to kill me and who's not. So I get out of the car, and this roar goes up. People screaming. If the enemy didn't know, they know now. And so I started walking, and they tell me, you got to walk toward this opening over here. So I started walking toward it, and when I started walking, and it's not my fault, this energy blew out and started rolling people like an ocean wave away from us. And I went inside and there's 3,000 pastors in there. And I'm walking up on them. And they're rolling like, looks like a snowplow. The power of your God has no equal. I can't tell you the fear I felt. I can't. The anxiety, the stress on me because of all these people, someone's going to get killed because I'm there. And heaven rolled in ahead of me, rolling these people. These are pastors, and they're being rolled like snow. And I walk up there, and the music, oh my God, it went on for several hours. Then all of a sudden, they hand me the microphone. As soon as they hand me the microphone, in the back door, in walks a stack of Hindi priests. Is it? And I'm standing up there looking at them, and here they come. They are not ashamed. Do you understand me? They are in control, son. They got on their clothes, their ritual stuff, all the colors, the paints, the... It's going to happen. That's it. And I just started talking how awesome Jesus was. How about his power? What a wonderful God we serve. Here they come. They come right down there. It's 50 of them or more. It's a bunch of them. A couple of them come around the thing and come up on the platform with me. And I'm looking at them. I done turned. Now we're facing each other. Jesus. Jesus. And this fellow rolls up on me. I mean, he is colorful. He said, do you know who I am? I said, I have an idea. I said, you're a Hindi priest. He said, I am. He said, who else am I? I said, I don't know. I'm not a seer. I'm the guy that does things like walk on this land and bless this land. That's what I do. That's why I'm here. Here's what he said to me. I am an MP, a minister of parliament. I said, what'd you say? Because that changes everything. I said, and what are you doing mixed up in this? He said, I'm the guy that signed the paper for your protection. I said, they sent word to us that he's going to raid us and kill us. He said, I know they did. I let them. I wanted to see if he was real. I said, I'm real. He said, I see that. He said, I am the guy that allowed you to come into the country. I am the guy that allowed these meetings to happen without anybody that wanted a dandruff be borrowed from anybody. I said, what? He said, you don't know, do you? I said, I don't know. He said, my wife, she loves you. I said, what? Oh, she isn't what y'all call an on-fire Christian. I said, she told you, yeah, that I better protect you. I said, wow, where is she? I need to kiss her. She needs a kiss. He said, I'll give it to her. I said, okay. And he knelt down, and I don't know custom or proper or not, but I do know a lot about the nation. I've been here several times, but so I knelt down with him. I don't know if it's legal for me to touch him or not legal for me to touch him. I said, what do you want? He said, my wife told me you're going to pray for me and our family. And I got your back. I said, I'm grateful. Thank you very much. I said, can I touch you? He said, of course you can. And I grabbed this joker and the fire of God whacked that guy. There were four MPs there. Do you hear me? This is a big deal now. Instead of y'all hearing a big massacre of Christians and me involved, it was the opposite. I was saved. Isn't that something? Now, I'm trying to get you to understand, we need to see the new day. Where God, your Bible says, when God is at peace with you, he makes even your enemies. Now, you got to hear what I just said to you. All right. Now, would y'all fellas put that picture up? Excuse me. Hello? Excuse me. That's a great conversation. Sorry to interrupt it. Would you put that picture up, please? Yeah, thank you. Okay. Dim these front lights again, please. Thank y'all. I apologize. I'm sure it was a great story. I want you to look, because I have been at gunpoint. I have been threatened. I have been in front of the ministers of parliament. I have watched the power of God bless this land already. And then I get in a jet and I go up north, close to the China border. And they let me in. I'm blessed. Because you have to have two more visas to get up there. And I get up there. Now this is like 8 or 9 days of trying to get to this meeting. And the power of God has gone before us substantially. And God has given us favor, and I can't explain it to you. I want to, but I can't. And so they told me, 2 more days, Brother David. And so we got up by Nepal. We're Nepal and China and India, that corner. I was there. And I had to hike. Oh, my God. And out the window, right behind that guy, out the window is K2, the second largest mountain in the Himalayas. And the beauty, the amazingness of God's power. And so I get there after all these days. And all these threats, and all these rumors, and all these wars, and all these things. And I'm stressed out. And all the hiking, and four-wheel driving, and nothing working out. But everything's working out. And I get there finally. And I look up at this building, and there's, I don't know how many people's there. Dadgum. They're just clumps of people, thousands of them on the outside. And they said, you got to get in there somehow. And I tried, I went around, looked around. I couldn't get in. There's no way in. These people, the press, the need is so great. The laborers are few. And I'm not here to condemn you or curse you. I'm here to convict you and set you free. And I thought, how can I get in? So I threw my backpack at my son. Doom. I said, figure it out. And I got down on my hands and knees like a dog. And I started, they thought it was a dog. So I was going through the people like this. And so I got inside. Look here, as far as you can see, there ain't no space. There ain't no space. People. And they dying. Blind. Lepers. Deaf. Cripples. The smell of rotten flesh. I had to get to them. There's nowhere to put them, so they're just stacked. Hundreds of them are laying on the floor dying. And so And I'm not up, I'm down on my hands and knees. And I got over there and I looked at him. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll just lay down and roll over him. So that's what I did. I laid down on him and just was rolling over the top of him. Clump, 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 clump. And I clumped upside this guy here, sitting in a chair, a crippled man. And I pull up there to him, and he's the pain. See, there's no roads. There are no hospitals. Closest hospital is, I don't know how far away, hours, days, 2-3 days away. All right. I think it was probably a good hospital, though. Who knows? And I said to him, why are you here? He said, because I want to see your Jesus. I said, me too. That's all it takes. If we could just see the new day. Not the one we got, the new one. If we could hear the mighty voice of the great one, everything changes. I rolled up and down them sick people, and finally I rolled over there to a makeshift thing, like it wasn't one of these, it's similar. And I climbed up on it, and I'm just sitting over there, I'm laying on a speaker looking at them. I never did see him, but the glowing one came. This guy starts screaming. This guy. He said, he's here. He's here. And I said, what did he say? What's he saying? Because he's speaking Hindi. I can't understand him. They're telling me, he's here, Brother David. He's here. I said, who? The glowing man came through the roof. And he's healing the sick. And the blind, and the lame, and the deaf, the cripples. And I turn over there and I look at this guy. And he's got his things up in there. Thank you for the gospel. Do you hear me? Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the gospel. And so I left, went up into Europe around Northern Africa and then back to our thing in Texas. All of a sudden I got an email. I got it on this thing. Oh, actually, it was a WhatsApp right here. It's on this phone right here. You want to hear what it said? Thank you for the glowing one. Since you were here, it's 40 days. 40 days. Since you were here, 36,636 people have given their life to Jesus. So, these threats are valid. The pain is real. The money's real. She said a while ago that I said last night, I don't need anything you got. But if you knew just my plane ticket for 1 year, just me, not the team, you'd just say, what's the use? So I'll just tell you, I don't need nothing. But see, the king knows. He'll use the Indian government to upgrade me on spice jet. The guy that pulled his gun on me, he'll let me pray for him in public. the prime ministers that turn an eye at this martyrdom of Christianity, he'll use them to sign in protection. I'm telling you, your God is amazing. I need you to let him, I need you to see the new day, the new sky. I need you to allow his voice. I need you to let that happen. Please. He's wanting to use us. But we're stuck in what else and yell butts and what happened to us. Listen, I'm an eighth generation preacher. If you had everything that's ever been done to my family stacked up outside, you could put a whole fleet of tractor trailers and you couldn't tote it all off. It's horrible what happens to Christians and ministers. But look at me, look at me. You see it? You're not going to see it. It's not who I am. Let me tell you who I am. I am a son of a king. And I got proof. I can't tell you how much money I put in to get in there and get that man healed. What's it worth to him? What's it worth to heaven? See, that's the issue, right? Don't you think? Not what we're putting out and our sweat and our monetary values. What does heaven think? I'm right about this, y'all. This is a big deal. And I'm in. You hear me? I like it traipsing through these things. You should have seen the wheelchairs go up in the air and people walking around screaming that were cripples and they're walking. And I'm just going, whoa! Oh my God, look at that! Mom. Somebody get a picture! That's all I can do is take a picture. But none of our pictures had the glowing man. That's what I wanted to see. They saw him. I didn't get to see him that time or the time before, the time before. It is about being a doer. Be ye therefore doers. Hello? And not hearers only. Shatana. Will you please stand? Let's figure out how to do something. I don't know what's right. You got to say, I don't care. Because it's on like Donkey Kong over here. Shatabah. It's amazing. It's amazing. What's happening in every nation is amazing. And I'm going to share something with you in the morning that just happened. And it's scary as fire. It's amazing. But it's just not even on anybody's list of possible. Except heaven. And you see, that's what we got to do. Holy. Holy. We all right? Everybody good? Nobody all right? Shakabatarabo. You know why I speak in unknown tongues in an open assembly without interpretation? Especially to offend you, Assemblies of God and Church of God people. And you charismatics, you got lots of rules, you just don't get nothing done. So if you start interpreting, I'm going to shut you down, so don't. You all right? Everybody okay? Okay. Holy Ghost, you good? You all right? Holy, holy, holy.